Bibles, open your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. I only tell you that, I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to just remember the goodness of God. When you're discouraged, remember the good things. You should have written them down in your life. How has God been good to you? Just focus on that. God's been very good to us. Life is very difficult. Life is very hard. Life can be very discouraging. It is one of the things about getting older, you see a lot of people die. You know, and so just because you get older and the people you know, they start dying, what a rough week it's been. Ronnie Wolf, you know, just Ron Johnson, and then Ron Niederlander. It's part of life, but remember how good God's been. Hebrews chapter 11, let's begin with verse 23. The title of the message tonight, Faith Passed On. I had another title in my mind. It was The Impact of Our Faith. Just that our faith impacts others. And when we begin at verse 23 and we finish at verse 21, 160 years have transpired. By the time Rahab believes on the God of Israel and the Messiah of Israel, it's been 160 years since Moses was born in verse 23. But you're going to see the connection between Moses' parents, Moses, the Israelites, and Rahab. Faith passed on. Let's read verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Faith passed on. Let's just begin with Moses' parents. In verse 23, Moses' parents, look at verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Now, proper child, the Bible talks about Moses just being some beautiful, handsome, distinct baby, right? Now, I think every mother thinks, my baby is just beautiful, distinct, and all of that. I was not. It's like, man, my baby pictures, I'm like, did you guys just purposely take bad ones of me? Are there any good baby pictures of me, right? I mean, now everybody's like, we took 27,000 pictures until we came up with the one. They said, that's ugly, print it. And I don't know. It was like, there are no good baby pictures of me. It's sort of like, you know, I was like, and it's like, that's all you have? It's like, could you pay for it? It's Polaroids, right? Because they had to print them, right? But Moses was, according to the Bible, a beautiful baby. His parents saw him, that he was proper child, and I don't know if that was so unique with them, but I want to tell you this. Moses's parents were not like most parents. I met with Clay on Saturday. He asked me a question. I've pondered. I don't think my answer was that fantabulous. He said, what do you wish you had done differently with your kids? And I really told him where it would be distinctly different. It's probably when they turned, you know, 11, 12, in that range, where I would begin once a week with them a Bible study like I do with anybody that comes into my life today. We by God's grace, were able to read them the Bible. We were able to instruct them. And Deb was such a huge part of that, and just the discipline and the consistency. Consistency is the key, right? I will tell you this, just based on this passage here, that you guys know the story. Jochebed and Amram, those were Moses' parents, right? I didn't look them up. This was Jochebed and Amram? All right, thank you. And so... So, I should look back to my wife. So, Jochebed and Amram, they put Moses in a little boat, little ark of bulrushes, and they put him on the Nile River, And they did that by faith, and then Pharaoh's daughter found him, and he was a gorgeous baby. And she saw him, and God put it in her heart, and immediately she fell in love with him and wanted him to be her own. And she brought him into her family. And then Miriam was kind of following the little ark going down the river and showed up there, and Pharaoh's daughter asked Miriam, said, go find one of the Hebrew women to nurse and take care of my son until he is able to be weaned. And we talked about this just this past week, that occurred typically at age 3, maybe age 4, and if you're Jochebed, maybe age 10, I don't know. But she probably, no pun intended, milked that one out for as long as she could. And so if that's inappropriate, you guys can tell me. I don't think it is. Is that inappropriate? I didn't mean it that way at all. Is it? Is it? I don't think so. Maybe it is. I wasn't trying to be inappropriate. If it's inappropriate, you guys tell me. I wasn't trying to be. That just came to me. That wasn't in my notes. believe it or not. So how long it was that she had Moses. But I will tell you this, however long it was. How old is Josiah? Before in January. And so imagine she kept him until he was 4. And so that wouldn't be outrageously unusual. It's kind of within that range. She did everything she could to instill in him the knowledge of the God of the Bible. And so I know you've only got a few months to go, but, you know, for Elodie and these two precious babies in your womb, it is take the example of Moses' parents and instill all you can about the love of God, about the joy of God, about his word, and make it all just joyful. Right, everything you do, just make it enjoyable. And I mean, don't. I think I've told you the story. My niece, she told my sister this, and so there's a balance. She said, "I wish that Uncle Steve would just be my uncle. That every time we meet, it's always Bible, Bible, Bible." And I've learned from that. I try not to be. I don't want to be obnoxious. There's a sense of urgency. But I also just need to enjoy my nieces, enjoy my grandkids. But I'm telling you this, I'm going to teach them the Bible. And so Elia, and when she turns 11 or 12, if I don't live near her, we're going to have a video conference. And I'm going to say, hey, let Papa, we're going to have a great time. I'm going to teach you the Bible. And so we're going to do it. And unless she just absolutely hates it. I can't force people to do it. I will force some people to do it. This young man that my daughter's dating, he has to have a Bible study with him. He doesn't know that yet. He's finding out this week. And, Abby knows. Abby knows. And I asked Abby, I said, Abby, if you'll hate my guts, then I won't do it. She said, Dad, I'll never hate your guts. I said, will you despise me for the rest of your life? And she said, no. And I said, you're not allowed to warn him. And I said, I'm asking you not to warn him. And so I'm going to tell him, you don't have to believe what I teach, but I said, I'm going to tell you that if you are a reasonable man, you're going to understand this book is amazing. There's something unique about this book, and you want to learn it. And so I'm going to. So you can't force people. I can him. I say, you want to date my daughter and one day get my approval for your marriage? Then I'm asking for 90 minutes every day. I'm just what I'm doing. And he needs, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But Moses' parents weren't like all the other parents. They were different. And they put their faith in the Lord. And so I want to read this text, because I think most of you parents can relate to this. It's one of the newer believers. You don't know him, but I gave him a book. I gave him the book, Child Training Tips by Reb Bradley. It's a great book. You should read it. It's only about 100 pages. He said, I am feeling convicted today. He sent this at 2:52 today. I'm reading the book you sent me. And I normally don't send books to many people. It's like, this is the book, right? He said, in the section referring to immaturity and self-indulgence, I find myself identifying most of those traits in my adult self. How am I supposed to raise these children when I haven't matured past the toddler stage in my own life? I'm generally concerned that I may be in some serious trouble. I have no doubt that the timing of Jesus here is perfect, but my spirit is shaking right now. I don't even feel right trying to correct my girls now, knowing I've never corrected myself. That's hypocrisy in its basic form. I'm going to continue reading, but I would ask you to pray for me today. This is hitting me very hard. Is that the overwhelming perspective of parenting? It is. Welcome to parenting. Here's what I said. praying, you are in a good place. We are inadequate, but for Christ. Learn to lean on Him. He will direct you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, I just put that there. You know, it is, get me started. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I said, I am praying. Thank you for reaching out. Parenting is overwhelming. He said, thank you for the advice and prayer. And I want you to understand this. Parenting is daunting. You can't do it. You will destroy your children. You will fail, but for God. Jochebed and Amram weren't that unique. They were just willing to step out on faith and say, God, we're going to trust you. If you asked me, I'd say, that's the dumbest idea in the world. It's a good thing I wasn't their neighbor. They wouldn't have put Moses in the ark. I'd have said, yeah, that's great. Just make him a tasty lunch for the crocodiles. It wasn't such a great idea. You know what the great idea was? We're going to trust God. We're going to put this baby in this boat. No one's ever done this before. And we're just going to see what God might do. And then God made something good out of something that really, in the grand scheme of things, wasn't such a great idea. I would never recommend for any of you to put your baby in a boat and put it down a river. But it's what God used because the parents did it in faith unto God. So you just live your life just striving in your inadequacy to honor the Lord and do what you know and do what you believe and stay disciplined and try to stay consistent. The thing that overwhelms you as parents is inconsistency, isn't it? I see that from Rachel all the time. And I just need to let her know you're doing a great job. Because Deb, I think, did a great job. And she looks at Deb and just is like, I know I'm not doing it like you did. That's okay. Just love them. You just strive to do what you believe God would have you to do and put them in the arms of the Lord and just keep on keeping your eyes on Him. They weren't like most parents. Don't be like most parents. Love your kids. I will tell you, these first 4 years, absolutely critical. And so my advice on Saturday was really my morning. I'm M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. My morning of missing those young adult years where I could teach them like a man and teach them like young ladies. And so you just strive to honor the Lord, and you'll be blown away what He might do. Jochebed and Amram, they had no clue that Moses would be the deliverer for Israel. God used their faith to reach Moses. I say this, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. This is all so important. What you're going to see is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of anything else will cause you to not do what you should do. The reason why people don't witness is they're afraid they'll look dumb. They're afraid people won't like them. There is some fear that keeps us from obeying God. There's some phobia, I don't know what it is all the time, that keeps me from doing what's right. It could be abject selfishness and just taking upon myself, just selfishness. But it's to do right I'm talking about. The reason we don't do right, it's some foolish fear. I'm not talking about avoiding sin. That's a different thing. There's a different discipline. But to do right, what is it you're afraid of? Give that over to the Lord. They weren't afraid of the king's commandments. What you're going to be blown away with, you're going to see almost that exact same wording used with Moses. The influence his parents had in the little time they had with Moses, he also was not afraid of the king. It's interesting that it uses the king both times when it could have easily said Pharaoh. Moses' parents, it started with them. They instilled it in Moses, and they did it at a young age. So for some of you, you say, well, my children aren't young anymore. Then start today. Start today. God's such a big God. He can overcome any of our failures. And He can just don't make excuses. And you can't make up for 20 years in one day. Just serve the Lord today. It's sort of like, you know, I mean, I need to lose weight. I want to lose it all today. Ain't going to happen. I mean, unless there was something like liposuction that would just suck half my body away, right? I'd be dead. And so it's one day at a time, God, here's what I believe you'd have me to do. Write it down on the piece of paper, and then I'm going to see, can I just walk with God in this way? Now Moses, let's look at Moses. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I believe whether, you know, in Israel, there it was 30 years of age. Let's just imagine that that's the timing, though I'm thinking it would seem to me to be a little earlier, particularly when he was in the royal household. But let's imagine it was 30 years. When did Moses kill the Egyptian and then flee into the wilderness? How old was he? 40. Let's imagine that coming to years, that it was a Middle East thing and it was age 30. In Israel, age 30, you were considered old enough to be able to teach and to be able to be a rabbi. It doesn't mean you would be a rabbi, but they normally would not recognize you as a teacher until that age. I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus was so patient to wait until he was about 30 years of age to start his public ministry. But imagine it was 30. I believe this. This helps explain a little bit. When Moses killed that Egyptian and buried the Egyptian in the sand, he's of the royal household. Has it ever come to your mind and go, that seems to be a little bit hot-headed for Pharaoh? Doesn't it seem like all these mystery murders that you see is the rich and famous, one of their kids murders somebody and all they're doing is spending all their money and all their time to cover up the murder? Because I can't have this bad news on my name. I can't have this bad news with my children. Well, Pharaoh, he said he knew he'd kill him. I think it's because Moses had already said, no, I'm not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you think that was after he fled for the wilderness? No. What good would that do? He then, verse 25, links it. He said he chose to suffer, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I wonder, did Moses refuse the pagan worship of the Egyptians? The only reason why his life was potentially spared was because he was the son of his daughter. Whether Moses recognized it or not, was Moses then, did he refuse to do false worship to a pagan idol, pagan worship, and then he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? You see, he rejected sin. I want you to be clear. It's altered my preaching when people come back and they say, it's not like you said it was. And they act like I said sin was just immediately the most painful thing you could ever do. No, sin will destroy you in due time, but there is great pleasure in sin. That's why people do it. That's why we can still be tempted, because it's enjoyable for a short season. Sometimes that season can be a decade, two decades. Sometimes that season can be longer than you're thinking. It's not just 3 months. Moses said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose to suffer affliction. I think he was afflicted. I think he was rejected. I think he was an outcast. But he was still allowed some status within the royal family because of Pharaoh's love for his daughter. I'm surmising all of this, but I believe all of this happened before he killed that Egyptian. And if you ask me, that's why Pharaoh would be so quick to say, that's the last straw. Now you're turning on our people and you're killing our people and you've never identified yourself as one of us. I'm after you. And Moses fled. It would seem to me to be a little bit hasty for Moses to assume that Pharaoh would kill him. But if you understand the history that Hebrews 11 gives us, Moses had rejected all of the benefits of the royal court, the cause of Christ. Third thing I want you to see, and I love this, he esteemed the reproach of Christ, this is verse 26, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I do want you to understand this. I read these commentaries sometimes. And here's what, these are commentaries, I read commentaries by men that are, I would call good men. I don't go out and look for goofy goofs. I mean, I could find out all kinds of goofy goofs. When I tell you I read commentaries and they kind of shock me, because I think these are reasonable men that do love Jesus, and they want to represent the Bible well. But here's what one of them said, one that I like. I won't name the name. But he said, Moses probably was not aware that he was being reproached for the cause of Christ. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I will tell you, if he didn't know that, then I would tell you Moses wasn't saved. Moses knew about Jesus Christ. Do you know what Christ is? Christ is the same word for Yeshua, Messiah. Christos, the anointed one, the promised one. Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one. Moses wrote of the prophet. Moses wrote of the coming Messiah. Moses wrote of him, and Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ. He knew what he was being reproached for. It was the cause of Christ. It was just not some generic thing. It was, no, there's a Savior that's coming that's going to pay my price for my sins. He will die in my place, and he will rise again. And I will be reproached because he is worthy. That song we sang tonight, what a great song. Worthy is he, right? In fact, I just want to go, and I know this is a little bit slower than I'd like. Okay, so I know that makes me look really old, doesn't it? At least Jalea only reminds me of it every other minute. And let's see. It's not coming to Jesus, which is a great song too. Oh, look at this. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. I want to tell you, Moses kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, and he kept his eyes on why it was worthy. Why was he willing to suffer for the cause? Why was he willing to not pursue sin for a season when everybody else was making it look so good? If you do what everybody else does, you'll be caught in the cycle of sin, and it will destroy you, because worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Savior, and he esteemed the reproach. Now, look at this at the end of verse 26. I want you to understand this. Here's at the end of verse 26. Read 26 with me. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, when you're reading that just as quickly as you can, you know, when you're reading through your Bible sometimes, you be like, I don't know. I love the word respect there. God wants you to respect his promises. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew this. God will reward them. He didn't have that Bible verse where Jesus said, anything that you sacrifice for me, I will give you 100-fold this in this life. I'm telling you, you're going to see some of that 100-fold come back to Moses. And one of those 100-fold, her name was Rahab. One of those 100-fold, his name was Joshua. That doesn't mention Joshua here, but Joshua was right near Moses for much of his service. And Joshua became a faithful servant of the Lord. And you're talking Israel was just like the typical congregation. It's like herding cats, right? Not an easy thing to do. And Joshua learned from his tutor, Moses. Moses was meek. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. I tell you this, it's so important for me. If I do have a hobby horse, here's the hobby horse I want to have. There's only one way that there's ever been to heaven, one way in all of history that there's ever been to heaven, and that is the great work of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice on the cross, his death, and his resurrection. There has never been another way. There will never be another way. It's the only way to heaven. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his vicarious suffering for you, his death, and his resurrection. That's been the only way of salvation. And I will preach that until I'm blue in the face, and I believe that's the Bible. And I think it's overwhelming. These are overwhelming passages that Moses knew of Christ. Oh, let me tell you, it was a little fuzzy. Not the gospel, but the details were fuzzy. Did Moses know that Jesus was going to be crucified on the cross? No. You see, we should serve Jesus even more enthusiastically than Moses, because we know of the specifics of the suffering. We know the agony of the cross. We know what he went through, and yet we esteem him lightly. Stricken, smitten of men. We are almost a fulfillment of Isaiah 53, where we did not deem the work of Christ to be something magnificent. But Moses did. Moses did. Look at verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. And I don't think this was the forsaking of Egypt when he left for the 40 years of in the wilderness. Do you know what's interesting? I don't believe God mentions, so I don't believe this is the wilderness. There's no mention of his 40 years in the wilderness. Do you find that interesting? I find it interesting. Was Moses in the will of God while he was in the wilderness? Now, I want to tell you, this is how good God is. God worked out those 40 years in the wilderness for Moses' maturation, his maturity, his growth. I'm not saying he wasn't, but God doesn't mention it. And what God doesn't mention in Hebrews 11, what doesn't he mention in Hebrews 11? These great saints and their sin, right? He doesn't mention it. But it says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Do you love that? That's from mama and papa. They didn't fear the king, and their son didn't fear the king because they knew there was somebody greater. He said, don't fear those that can kill your body, but fear him that can kill body and soul. And Moses' parents taught him that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean they're going to be saved, but I'll tell you this. If you want to have a proverb that is your proverb, that's the proverb. I just know this. Will God ever have to apologize and say, well, you know, I'm sorry, that was just a generality, and I didn't do it for you. No, God will always over-deliver. You train up your children the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. I trust in all that. And I love this. The older I get, the older my kids get, the smarter I look to them. Kind of interesting. Hey, how you doing? Yeah? No, that's okay. You know what I love? This is, to me, I don't really laugh at it. And I love phone calls from my kids. Sometimes I wish it was like, Dad, what do you think about this Bible verse? But it's usually, Dad, I'm in trouble. And I need you to help me how to word this and how to get these people off my back. And I'm happy to help that way too. It's amazing how many calls you get like that. I love calls from my kids. Just love to see it. Man, I'm telling you, try to answer it. God loves to hear from us. Don't fear the king. And then look at this. I want to tell you this. Look at verse 27. It's interesting. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured staying focused on God. It's a song that we sang, right? What was that last song we sang? It was Come Unto Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Remember, Jesus does this all the time. He did this with Martha in John chapter 11. He said, Martha! I think he lifted up her chin. Maybe he didn't. And he got her eyes on him. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, Moses, he said, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The only way we're going to endure with success. There's two ways to endure. Endure kicking and screaming, or endure with delight. What we have to do is we have to see him who is invisible. We have to make the Lord in front of us daily, hourly, minute by minute, knowing he is worthy. I am preaching to myself. This I've enjoyed Hebrews chapter 11. I, you know, no matter how slow I get down these steps, I'm trusting I have many years to go. Dalia. No, I love it. You know, to me, you can always joke about my old age because once this knee's healed, you're going to be like, man, I can't believe how young he is. But you know what? For me, it's all good. It's all relative, right? I'm going to meet Jesus before you, probably. Can't guarantee that. And I'm going to tell the Lord, keep Jalea here just a little longer, just because she made fun of me. How about 5 years for every time she made fun of my old age? And you see, you think that would be good. Let me tell you what, as soon as I can get to Christ, the better. But while he keeps me here, I know why he keeps me here, because there's a work to be done, Joe. And I'm going to delight in that work. I'm not going to bemoan that I'm not with Jesus, but to depart is far better. There's just nothing better. But I'm going to love every minute of it that I have here because I want to be with my Savior, and I want to talk to him about all that he is doing. It's going to be so fascinating. I really want to get behind the scenes and say, what are you doing there? Oh, wow. I mean, you're doing this because in 11 years that's going to bear fruit? Oh, that's so cool. I don't know. I, I think he's gonna bring me in and let me see these things because he is the great God. And then I'm gonna let him tell you. Because I'll be like, oh, I want to tell you something when you get to heaven. You see, keep the Lord in front of you and you'll endure. Moses didn't have it so easy in the king's court. Moses rejected calling himself a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He forsook Egypt. And he didn't fear the wrath of the king. This is why verse 27, when it says he didn't fear the wrath of the king, when he left Egypt after killing the Egyptian, why did he leave? Because he feared the king's wrath, right? So 27 couldn't be talking about that, right? So you wonder when he departed fearing the king's wrath. And I can make excuses for Moses. I think he was like, I am the deliverer, right? And so you mistreated my people. Off with your head. But he wasn't given that authority by God, was he? He was a prophet. He was the deliverer. But let me tell you, God takes life very personally. Moses wasn't right, but I don't think Moses should have run. You say, Steve, how can you say that? I think he shouldn't have, but we'll get there when we get to Exodus in about 3 months, and you'll forget what I've said here. But he endured staying focused on God. Are you struggling to endure? Get your eyes back on Christ. I told people this. I'm just telling you, listening to the Bible has become beautiful for me. I listen to the Bible more than I read the Bible now. The way I listen to it, though, is different than I used to listen to it. I listened to Jude just yesterday. I've read Jude, listened to Jude, I can't tell you how many times. I listened to Jude a dozen times in one sitting, and it was so better the 12th time I listened to it. I got the full picture. I loved it. I want to encourage you. You don't have to do this, but listening to the Bible is like just, I'm able just to focus on not pronouncing things and just focus, and I write down questions as I'm listening to it. Listen to the same chapter 20, 30 times until you know what's in that chapter. Only 260 chapters in the Bible. I should know everything. You should be able to go, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd be like, well, here's what I'm talking about. I have no clue what's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I know what's in 1 Corinthians 4. I should have named 4, and I could have told you. But I don't know what's in 1 Corinthians. You know what's in 1 Corinthians 3? Do you? Maybe. Maybe. But there's only 260 chapters. We should strive to know God's word. Stay focused on God. You know how to stay focused on God? Washing of the water of the word. Let it wash your mind. Let it cleanse your mind. I'm just telling you, when you're in your car, listen to the Bible. You could listen to Jude a dozen times in less than 15 minutes. It's good. It's just good. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is a lot. So sometimes maybe you'll listen to half of it and then rewind it, and you don't have to rewind, just push that button and it goes back. I'm talking old cassette days. Now, here's what I want to show you. We had Moses' parents we started with. Now Moses. And then Moses, it said, kept the Passover. Do you find that's interesting? God mentions this, verse 28, through faith, he kept the Passover. And the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You imagine if Moses decided that this is just a little bit too much, God. God, I'm going to obey all the other commandments you have, but this one, I just think you're wrong. Ridiculous. Not going to have any part with it. Let's say you didn't have an attitude, and you'd be like, I'm just not comfortable. I know this is what you've told me to do, God, but I'm just not comfortable. Do you understand why I'm not comfortable? You want me to slaughter a lamb, and then you want me to tell people to put it in a basin, and then you want me to tell them to paint their doorpost with blood in front of their kids. God, man, I appreciate you. You've been good, but I'm going to take a pass on this one. Here's what God says. He says, through faith, he kept the Passover. You just must understand this. Is the Passover the nuttiest thing that God has asked somebody to do to this point in the Scriptures? Hey, I mean, you could argue that maybe Abel's was, kill a lamb, but I think God explained it all. But now he's saying this, and you're going to burn this offering, burnt offering, right? And you're going to burn it. You're going to consume it all. It's going to be all consumed. And Moses is like, I don't know. And you're going to do it, and everybody's going to be fully clothed and ready to go. Did you understand this? Was Moses received in every way by the elders and leaders of Israel? Now they began to increase their support of him when they started seeing flies and lice and you know, the hailstones, and they weren't falling on us, and they're like, yay. And but then Moses says, hey, take a lamb. And he said, God, if that's what you want, I'll do it. I don't understand it yet. You see what it says in verse 28? Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Lest, if he had not, folks, he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. God would not pass over any home that didn't obey. Details matter. By faith, he obeyed. You see, that's what I'm harping on these guys that I like that just don't seem to get what Cain did. It was Cain didn't have faith, but he also didn't obey. See, Cain could have done the same offering as Abel and not had faith. And if God hadn't accepted the same offering, then I would suggest it was the difference in their faith. Amen? But you see, it was also the obedience or disobedience of Cain. It wasn't a mystery. It wasn't that Abel came up with this great idea, let me kill an animal. How does that sound? Killing an animal is never pleasant, right? I mean, I know you hunters, but, you know, it's okay to have an animal for meat. So I'm not against that. But now, maybe hunters, how many hunters do we have here? How many hunters? A hunter. Is it tough to kill an animal? No? Tough to kill an animal? I mean, the outcome is good. So, you know, Gerald, man, he's just like, nah. All right, I'll bring you my raccoons and my groundhogs, Gerald. But it is, too many of you know my stories, right? If it's a varmint in my house, they will be no longer. And, I mean, I was driving my car on my property the other day because there were so many groundhog holes, and I'm just like, I'm just going to run them all over. And my neighbors think I'm nuts or something, I don't know. And they haven't come in those holes anymore. But back to this. You've lost total perspective of what I'm talking about. Moses kept the Passover. If Moses had just in this one instance said, God, you know, not tonight. I'll do it tomorrow. The destroyer, and my wife probably went and reviewed it, right? There's no term death angel in the Bible. I think it was Stephen Tillery that highlighted that for me one day, wasn't it? That there's that term death angel isn't in the Bible. It's the destroyer. Right? And I was like, I think I said it from the pulpit. Stupid death angel that doesn't exist. But it's the destroyer that came through. Would he have come through another night? See, delayed obedience is disobedience. By faith, Moses said, okay, God, whatever you say. And his obedience resulted in however many families, it'd be 2 to 3 million families. The firstborn of those families were saved, not eternally, rescued from the plight of the destroyer because of Moses' faith instructing the people, and the people believed Moses. Pretty cool. Then verse 29, it goes from Moses' parents to Moses to Israel. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land when the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. Moses' faith bled over onto the Israelites that they crossed over the Red Sea, which would have been quite some sight, and wondering, how long is this wall of water going to hold up? Moses had faith. It infected the entire nation of Israel. Then I want you to see, it crossed over the Red Sea, and then it related to Rahab. Look at verse 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The walls of Jericho were not the macho warriors of Israel. Now, Israel was known to be pretty ferocious warriors, particularly the Benjamites. They were left-handed, and they would come in at different angle, and the Benjamites were just one of the tribes that you didn't want to mess with. But what God did is God said, no. Thankfully, he didn't have more tutus or something, right? But what he was doing was he was putting them in a place that says this, victory is mine, not yours. God may use soldiers, but the victory is of the Lord. He wanted to know them. He wanted them to know that from the very first battle. What is amazing is that battle happened, but here's it is, by faith, verse 31. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. And I'm just going to put the word perish not. Rahab ultimately was part of the line of Christ. It's amazing the forgiveness, the long-suffering, the restoration of Christ, that Rahab was part of the line of Christ. Not only did she not perish when the walls came tumbling down, but I believe she was saved. Her faith was in the Messiah of Moses, the Messiah of Joshua. And then I want to show you this. Look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And so it's super fascinating. When she had received the spies with peace. You know what's not mentioned here? Her big fat lie. Again, what does Hebrews 11 seem to leave out? The sin God's forgotten. Was Rahab right to lie? Was she right to lie, Joe? Absolutely not. You're right. Do it with enthusiasm so everybody can see that next time. So was she right to lie? See, she didn't have to answer him, but she lied. You see, you know what? God's not this monster God that says, oh, Rahab, you liar. I'm going to strike you down, and they're going to watch that you lied, and now you're going to die because of your lie. Because if they had caught her in a lie, they would have killed her. She lied because of fear of her own life. See, we let circumstances get in the way. We take our eyes off Christ, and she was a new believer, enthusiastic about the God of Israel. Yet she lied. God doesn't mention it. He just says this. He says, by faith, the Rahab harlot perished not. Why did she perish not? When she had received the spies with peace. I started, remember, with Moses' parents all the way down to Rahab. Because Rahab didn't come into the picture until after the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Moses was born. He lived to be 120 years old. He did not enter into the promised land. Joshua takes over. They wander in the wilderness for 40 years, approximately 160 years after Moses was born. Rahab is saved. The faith of Jochebed and Amram, people that I might have forgotten their names. I had to make sure that Jochebed and Amram were the right names, right? They are such famous people that everybody names their children Jochebed and Amram. How many have ever known of someone to be named Jochebed? Amram? I think an Amram might have been possible. But nobody. You know what? Nassim, if your life is like Amram's, it's a life worth living. By faith, they trusted God for their son, and their son's faith and their faith is still having an impact 160 years later. That's the God we serve. When I sacrifice for the Lord and when I believe Him today, as I talked about this morning, the aura of sin and the impact of sin is far more than we can imagine. The impact of our faith, the impact of our obedience, the willingness to be awkward, the willingness to trust God, the willingness to do something as crazy as the Passover. You just must understand, what would you do if God walked up and said, I'm so glad that I can be reasonably confident in the scriptures that God's not going to walk up and say, hey, I need your congregation to kill a bunch of animals tomorrow. And then wipe blood on their doorposts. What? You would think I'm nuts. Why would they not think Moses was nuts? Well, because they had Exodus. They didn't have Exodus. But Moses said, I'll obey. All you want to do is trust and obey. Remember this, if you're ignorant, as the bad men we talked about this morning, you won't know what obedience looks like. Love your kids. Teach them about this book. Enjoy your kids. When you're overwhelmed, it's a good place to be. Don't give up. One day at a time. And I know this. Randall can attest to this. Don't worry about the idols. Be faithful. Be diligent. And your kids will call you. They'll be blessed because they had you. Father, I do love this overview of 160 years. Two people that we hardly ever mention, Jock